Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 169. I think that's all we've got time for this week, so it's been a pleasure. Good to see you guys. Take care. No, it's actually a special show because for the first time, certainly with this lineup, and for the first time in ages, we've got all six of us here.
Full squad.
Full squad, yeah. No injuries, no down to the bare bones, no having to go and get Kim Kallstrom on loan.
It's funny how the two most hated members of the podcast team both have terrible losses and everyone turns up to rub it in.
Most hated members. I believe I've been mentioned more than anyone in iTunes reviews about being great.
And I'm pretty sure the deal's not
as good.
My mum memes those reviews. They come from the heart.
How many iTunes accounts has she set up now?
She can't set one up, unfortunately, the poor old dear.
Hate's a strong word, though, James.
Okay, yeah, dislikes.
Yeah. We've got two most divisive, although I'd argue that maybe you could be in there as the most divisive, especially as Carl Lawson.
Whoa. Shit, fucking the universe went fucked up this weekend.
What?
We've got another Carl Lawson
and he's more important than the other Carl
Lawson. Well, he's a C Carl Lawson.
And he doesn't got an umlaut like our other Carl Lawson, I think is just for show.
He writes some comedy stuff, so if you're listening, mate, I do a bit of stand-up, come down and see me. These fuckers
which we've never seen.
He knows your level of gag, so he's never, ever going to be interested, is he? Let's be honest.
Let's talk about
Super Sunday.
Super Sunday, yeah, well, let's get out.
I'd like to talk about Super Saturday, about midday kickoff. That was fantastic. I'm just very happy about all the results again on the moment.
I'm starting with United. If you've not seen, I put a blog up from when we lost 6-1 to City with some annotated notes on the new website, so check it out. But my biggest hope now is that Liverpool miss out on the title by one goal and Steven Gerrard becomes a pariah. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think Moyes is doing a great job at United. I hope he's there for about 10 years. Because I tell you what, I've not enjoyed a Premiership season more than this season.
Talking about Steve Gerrard, you know, he swapped his shirt with about 200 different clubs or 200 different players. Never with a United player. Never ever swapped his shirt.
Really? Well, that's tenuous link number one of the week. Speaking of swapping shirts and Liverpool United. This is a heartwarming story about the game.
I don't want heartwarming. I want to finish burying you.
No, we can go back to that in a minute. Don't worry.
Let's not go back.
You don't host anymore, Jim.
Let's not go back. Let's leave. Let's talk about
the game. Okay, but I'm talking about this as soon as we're on because it's a really nice story.
And you're worried about Gerrard missing a penalty.
I'm joking.
3-0.
I am, of course, joking. We were terrible. Me and my mate sat, watched it, got pissed and had a laugh because you could see it coming.
You had a laugh after that. what else?
I certainly did.
What else can you do? I mean, it's terrible.
I bet Moyes was sharing a drink as well, to be fair.
I think he probably had, looking at the midfield he put
on. Your best performer, I think Gary Neville or someone said it,
it was Gary Neville.
The crowd.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that all season.
Absolutely fair play on that one.
Did you see the tweet from Tesco Mobile?
Yeah, brilliant.
I've got a little bit of previous with Tesco Mobile. The tweets, they are clearly a good bunch of lads, whoever's in charge of Twitter.
I haven't seen the tweets.
Right, so basically, some footy accumulator tweeted, I hear Tesco's have vacancies. And then someone else tweeted,
why is the football accumulator started talking about
talking about needing a change. 4-4 Tom said, I hear Tesco's got vacancies. Football accumulator said, at Tesco Mobile, is there a vacancy for David? Tesco Mobile tweeted back, we're award winners here, not sure he'd fit in.
My sister works for Tesco. She ain't a winner.
Back around Valentine's Day, for some reason, my mate was getting fucking Barocca and Tesco Mobile involved in Who's Your Valentine. And they, when asked the question of to Tesco Mobile who their Valentine was for the next day, they tweeted back to us, me saying, we've got a few hashtag Tesco lads. Tesco lads.
Well, tweets around that United game, speaking of one, Stretford End Flags, who do all the banners on the Stretford End, surprisingly, have said they will not be taking down the chosen one banner for David Moyes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which, it goes by, fair enough, the fans are getting behind him.
Fair enough, I like comedy in football, it's good, isn't it? Sport relief as well,
To be fair, he was the chosen one.
I thought it was quite interesting what Jan Mulby saying about the, and we can ask...
Anything Jan Mulby says is going to be
interesting. But we can ask three of you, really, as kind of neutrals, in the sense that he's saying that the majority of neutrals want Liverpool to win the title this year, mainly because of Steven Gerrard getting rewarded for A, his commitment, B,
no, I just like Liverpool or Arsenal,
I'd love to see either of them two win it.
Liverpool have done it the right way as well. They put some faith in Rodgers. He didn't have the great start.
I think Rodgers is doing
a terrible start, especially with that, with the hidden camera stuff, you know, when he was ripping the piss out of the players.
That's the funny thing, because obviously it's a very different situation. Moyes is doing far worse.
But this won't be funny. You said it's the funny thing.
Well, the coincidental thing, then,
Cole Lawson's on the edge of his seat. This is the funny thing. He's waiting
Had Brendan Rodgers been sacked last March, I don't think Liverpool fans would have bothered like kicking up a stink. I don't think they would be saying now, oh, we should have kept Rodgers.
I don't know. I think the time when he was getting a lot of stick, every Liverpool fan I know and anything that I read, they were giving him the time.
Rodgers came in
and said, basically, right, I'm going to change the philosophy of this club. He said it's not going to be a one season thing. It's not going to be two. He's still saying now we've got no chance of the title.
But he actually went back to the original boot room philosophy that Liverpool had in the 70s.
I do think all this about not winning the title, it's got to touch the David O'Leary's at Leeds about it when they're up there.
They didn't win the title today.
But he constantly, and half the reason they didn't win it in the end was because he just kept saying we don't stand a chance, and the players got demoralised. But I don't think that's happening in Liverpool because they are well behind Rodgers.
And did you see the interview on Football Focus with Daniel Sturridge? I quite like the way it was. Is it Dan Humphries?
Yeah.
Is it Dan Humphries doing the interview?
He basically went, can you
win the title, but you can't say we're going to do our best, we're going to keep winning our games, and we're going to take every game that comes. And it was quite a good bit of banter. Sturridge was like, you've literally taken all of my excuses out. He went, and eventually they believe it, you know, but they obviously just don't want to be shouting about it.
You want to see how many shit interviews are out when they just allow the cliché response.
I like did you see Mourinho where he after the who did they play most recently? They lost to Villa, wasn't
it?
He came out and he didn't say anything against the ref, but in saying, he said, no, I can't bring the game into disrepute. So you're happy with the ref? Well, I can't say anything.
He said, I can't say anything about the ref, but maybe you shouldn't ref us anymore.
He's the master of not actually getting himself in trouble, but quite apparent that he didn't get himself in trouble, didn't he? He got sent off afterwards. He's not going to get done for anything.
Well, he's scared, isn't he? He doesn't want a touchline ban.
He's basically saying, hang on, Chris
was about to say something. Go.
I was going to say, do you think United maybe not getting Champions League football next season is
a blessing in disguise?
It's not matter because we're going to get Champions League football this season. That's the funny thing, isn't it? Them not getting Champions League football, that is very funny, Jim.
But it's all to do with a number of games you're playing in a week. Liverpool are playing one game a week.
We talked about this last night.
Do you think it might be a bit of a blessing in disguise? Give yourself one off season next season.
It could also be the death of us.
Well,
could go either way.
I'm not United, though.
I can't see you attracting the players.
I agree with you.
I can't see you attracting the players.
No, I don't know about that.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back.
They've still got Rooney, Van Persie,
heartwarming story.
Yeah, but they've got David Moyes as the manager.
Yeah, but
Moyes isn't a bad manager.
As much as I love him being there, I hope you beat Olympiacos. Right, so he stays a bit longer.
I hope they beat Olympiacos because I want them to beat Olympiacos. Full stop.
Oh, that's nice.
Hilarious managers. Well, they've got to talk about Tim Sherwood, haven't we? Because that was.
Well, before we talk about Tim Sherwood,
I thought he was fantastic. Weren't Spurs fans saying that he was brilliant, breath of fresh air, turning things around?
Before we talk about Big Tim, who will be the next United manager. Before we talk about him, I am talking about this fucking heartwarming story.
A lad in Ireland,
Shane Grogan, is 24-year-old. He got assaulted.
24-year-old Irish. She's probably a pisshead.
But he got assaulted last year and had severe brain damage.
Right, take that back.
And needs 24-hour-a-day care and special medical facilities.
Well, you are so Staples. You absolute arsehole.
Here comes the heartwarming bit. His mates got together.
He's covering his head in shame. I've never seen Staples this bad.
He's actually gone really red.
If you're listening in Ireland, tweet in, let us know what you think about it.
His mates are a lot nicer than Jim because they've got together at the weekend and arranged a shirt swap, because obviously in Ireland big United and big Liverpool fan bases, so all the United fans wore Liverpool shirts and all the Liverpool fans wore United shirts.
In a pub or something?
I think it was in their local GAA or Gaelic Games club in the Brogue bar. But yes Jim, you're off to hell.
Jim Staples, the most hated podcaster
in Ireland
and the world.
So they've raised a load of money. United and I think Liverpool both sort of posted it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, but it just shows sometimes you can rise above the divisions in football.
Of course you fucking can. It's like some things are more important.
Yeah.
Unless you're a pisser.
Actually, on the shirt swapping, did you hear about the Middlesbrough fan?
Who got his penis cut off.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's another good
Celtic fan.
No, Middlesbrough fan had a bet with the Sunderland fan. Said to the Sunderland fan that... you'll never get to a Wembley Cup final, but if you do, I'll wear a Sunderland shirt for the weekend. Well,
for a week.
Was it for a week?
It was a week. For a week. Now it's a week.
Ooh.
Well, did you say which part of the body you had to wear it on?
Shirt.
Where would you wear it?
Well, you just wear it with your legs through the arms, and then
it's an
injury. That won't attract any attention.
It's going to make you look like an idiot as well.
I'm just trying to think of ways around for the poor lad.
Yeah,
it'd be quite easy.
What's your
to
excuse?
Do things. You'd never have to
think just in the dark.
Yeah, look, we're not getting away from Tim Sherwood.
I've
been waiting for this. Yeah. Go on, Chris.
Who may I add can be the next United manager at this rate?
Why not?
He's an angry
probably
man.
Do a better job than Moyes.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Well, he should be angry about that prick from Benfica.
Oh yeah, that was shit. Yeah, that was proper shit. I was there last week, and it was the first time I've left the game.
Let's talk about
that. No, we lost that time as well. We lost that game as well.
He wants to talk about Arsenal.
Is that Tim Sherwood?
I'm Martin McCutcheon.
What a passion, isn't he?
What a fucking goal by Thomas Mazzucchi.
Yeah, amazing.
Really great goal.
I think that was 70 mile an hour. Set up so perfectly for him.
Because you didn't get to see the game live, did you? I like this.
This is a fucking pain in the ass. So, I was in Bath for the weekend because my mate, who's an actual comedian, Mike, sorry, mate, that was unnecessary. Was gigging in Bath. I wasn't getting back till about 6.
When me and Carl Lawson take over the comedy circuit, you'll be sorry.
So I got back to Victoria 4-6 and was like, right, I'm gonna headphones in, turn my phone off since 4. Like, I've got it recorded. I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna not watch the score, find out the score, get back for the game. Walking through Victoria, I'm just about to get on the tube, and I've heard some wanker say to another wanker, "What was it? Did it finish 1-0? Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, bollocks." I was like, "Fuck it, finish 1-0. I was like, "All right, no, I'm still not going to look at the score. I'm still not going to look at the score."
I've never seen the concept of that. Like, if a game's happening, I hate these people that like try and ignore the score.
Save it up.
What's the fucking point?
It's because it's more entertaining to watch it without knowing the score.
If my fucking team's playing, I want to know what the fucking score is.
Most of the time I agree with you, but there are certain times when you can't check the score. Like, so...
You can always check the score.
Not if you're, say...
in the 1990s.
On a plane, if you're on an aeroplane.
Then you land and you find out the fucking score as quickly as you can because it's your team and you need to know.
That's called discipline, self-discipline.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, it's bollocks. So I've realised. The score, then watch the highlights.
No, well, I want to watch the whole game. I want to pretend that I was there.
You're living in an unreality. Like, you're living in a time warp.
Maybe I want to, Jim. I'm in denial.
It's just ridiculous.
I know I can't affect it. I can't affect it if I watch it live.
Tweet us your thoughts on whether or not you watch it live.
So obviously I've gone, fuck, someone's won 1-0, shit. I was like, all right, fuck it, I still don't know who won, it's fine, I'm still going to watch the game, it'll be all good. So I've sat down, fucking 70 seconds in, Arsenal 1-0, went, oh, for fuck's sake, I might as well turn it off, mightn't I?
I do like that.
I did watch the whole game.
Did you enjoy the game?
No, to be honest, mate, for the first time in a few weeks, I actually did enjoy it, because I actually played the best I've played in weeks.
They played better than when they lost 4-0 to Chelsea and dominated the game and all the goals were mistakes.
No, do you know what?
They were all mistakes.
Played better than that.
Didn't watch that game though, did you, Stokes?
No.
So you've got
no interest in watching it. You lost 4-0.
So you've got to know, and you've got to know.
Sit down to watch Spurs get a 4-0 loss.
Surely that's exactly what you'd do.
No, I've got no interest in watching it.
I think you'd probably prefer to see Spurs win than Chelsea win.
Definitely, I would have liked to win at Chelsea, definitely.
It was,
and also, when that first goal went in, I was like, oh, this could be a cracking game now. Yeah. It weren't a bad game after that, but I was disappointed.
What, the Spurs game?
Well,
it fucking should have been, but we couldn't put the ball in the back of the net.
It's the difference in Arsenal is that a couple of years ago...
the difference is Arsenal was Koscielny and Mertesacker. That was the difference, those two.
They were quite happy to defend a 1-0 win. And previously they did it, and that's why we won the game by
putting on a fucking defensive masterclass there, mate.
Yeah,
it wasn't just Koscielny and Mertesacker who were
Steve Bowles
impeccable. Yeah, But the whole back four were really good. And
no, I thought Samuel was poor. I thought he didn't raise his arm quick enough.
Ala,
where's the Connell?
Well, when Sherwood threw the ball at him and then sort of had to meekly apologise afterwards, that was fucking hilarious.
When was that? I must have missed that.
Fair play to Sanya. Was it Sanya?
He did not give one single shit.
Because the other person made an issue of it, and then Sherwood basically just said, "Look, you were taking ages," and Sanya just went, "Yeah, fair enough." And that's how it looked. Obviously, we don't know the dialect.
I don't know if Sherwood was trying to.
Fair play to that because a lot of other players would have made a fucking song and dance.
Yeah, talking about that, you see the shit that kicked off over Ramirez's tackle.
Yes,
fucking horror tackle.
Yeah,
really bad tackle.
Everyone else have to get involved. I'm glad Mourinho's sent off. Get off the fucking pitch. He hasn't got to be there. Yeah, but Lambert went on to drag fucking Agbonlahor.
No, but they were both on, and Mourinho wasn't.
No, Lambert went on to drag Agbonlahor. Mourinho's just a prick.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's got a right to walk anywhere.
I tell you what. What a goal by Delph as well. I don't know if he exactly meant it, but the ball's come across and it's an instant reaction, isn't it? It's a bit like who did it for us in the Euros? Was it the game? I can't
Zola
remember.
Did it years ago.
Well,
at the time,
Paulinho did it for the winner against Cardiff.
Has he meant that?
I think Welbeck meant that. Your Toure's goal in the cup final a couple of weeks ago.
Well, apparently, but he said in the change room, he said, "Let's just have some shots." Apparently, that's what he said. He got right into him. Going back to the Villa game, did you see the whole tens when that goal went in?
They went mental.
Absolutely potty.
Brilliant.
I love it when a crowd's like that.
Villa have had really good results against the big teams, haven't they? Blackburn's one of the best tens in the whole of the Premier League.
That and Everton in terms of old grounds. But Blackburn versus Burnley, which was the derby the other day, Blackburn were 1-0 up. Burnley got a couple of goals. When the winner went in, I think it was Danny Ings that got a winner, or maybe their set. Danny Ings got the winner, centre back scored the equaliser. I just love watching a crowd go absolutely fucking radio when a goal like
especially
that
especially when, because when did the first guy get sent off for Chelsea?
It was early doors, wasn't it?
Second half.
But fair enough. But on Jim's point. So they've got 45 minutes nearly, or 40 minutes of the build up to thinking we're against 10 men of Chelsea here. We can do this. Like you said, and eventually in the 82nd minute, getting that 1-0 winner. Is that build up, and then it actually happening? Yeah, fucking right. You're
really
going
well.
Mental.
Doing really well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Fair play to Lambert.
Well, it's getting interesting down the bottom now because a few of these clubs and another one who.
Fulham won.
Well, another team down there.
Fucking hell, where did that come from?
Another team who were down there that aren't getting the plaudits they deserve is Stoke at the moment, who I've never been a particularly big fan of, and Mark Hughes.
I don't think anyone has.
I'm not any more fan of Stoke. Fucking hell.
But they're flying at the moment. They're 10th now, aren't they?
I tell you what, Crouch has been one of the reasons for their form as well, since he's been fit and playing regularly.
See, the goal he scored was like a volley. Anyone else, they have to reach up and head that, don't they?
He swooped down and volleyed it.
Is Crouch going to another really World
well.
Cup?
I hope not. Now that Andy Carroll's back and playing quite well, and talk for him to be back in the world as well.
Carroll or Lambert are going to be there in front of Crouch, aren't they?
And I don't mind which one it is, to be honest, as long as we do take big.
Who would you rather have, Carroll or Lambert? Who would you rather have, Carroll or Lambert?
Carroll.
Lambert.
I'd take Carroll.
I'd take Carroll,
Lambert.
I'd take Lambert.
Lambert was really come on. Didn't even start, did he?
No, came on. Great superb finish.
That's three Lambert, three Carroll.
The thing is about Lambert is he should be there in his own right, but Carroll gives you something different if you haven't got that.
Because he's that much more powerful in the air. He's that much more of a monster.
The problem with Carroll is that
he'll get pissed and do something stupid.
There's a worry that his elbows come up. No, his elbows come up. World Cup. Refs are very keen to give a red card for anything which is remotely sort of dangerous.
That's what I said, he'd get pissed and fuck up.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he'd get pissed and fuck up.
He probably won't get pissed and then play football.
Yeah, you're right. I was taking the piss.
You've got to take Nolan out with you if Carroll goes, isn't
you? Oh, yeah.
Like chaperone. Straight in the arrow.
Take him out, get him in.
There was football going on other than the Premier League, wasn't there?
Yeah, the big game in League One. Down to 10 men as well, you boys, weren't you?
Well, and we were playing against 12 as well. If anyone watched it, the ref was fucking
terrible.
The only thing he did get right was sending our player off.
Classic Sunday League shout. We're playing against 12, lads. Against 12. Ignore the ref.
The only decision he did get
Can I just ask, when you went to 1-0, did your manager go, back to 0-0, lads? Back to 0-0, come on.
Maybe he did. What I found really funny was that Russell Slade was well out of his depth on the TV interview afterwards, and he's obviously a bit bitter about losing. And unfortunately, Russell Slade and all you Orient fans out there, I wish you good luck in the playoffs.
Oh. Yeah, well, it looks like they might be, but on Saturday, talking about your result, obviously that's the big game of the day, first v third at the time, wasn't it?
It was.
But Wolves, they drew at home to Shrewsbury 0-0.
And what happened last night?
Yeah, but how many games there was that 9 games in a row they won? Wolves prior.
No, they're
to that?
On 11. They're on
11. 11. So you've won 11 games in a row, they're at home to the team that was second bottom of the league, who are absolute dogger away from home.
And Toby just got so much better for
Shrewsbury
us.
Got a 0-0 there, yeah, at Molineux.
And then Wolves just played one of their games in hand last night and lost 2-1 away at Crawley
to
Town.
Crawley, yeah.
So suddenly we're in the driving seat. I mean, one of our games in hand is against Sheffield United, but
speaking of that, it was the unstoppable force against the immovable object on Monday night, wasn't it? It was Sheffield against
Melbourne Heart, 0-0 thriller.
Yeah, well, because how many had Sheffield won on the bounce?
A
lot.
7 defeated in like 12. Or...
Yeah, I know it was not on the undefeated bit, it was the win, the straight wins.
The
win 7. So that was, I watched that.
They hadn't conceded in ridiculous amount. As well.
Still haven't. Talking of that as well, did you see the games last night, particularly in the
Wigan, all
the games in the Championship were interesting because Charlton got a last minute winner against Bournemouth, so that moves them out of the bottom three, puts Millwall back in there.
How did Brighton
QPR
go?
QPR got battered by
only three
Wednesday
games.
Charlton drew with Millwall at the weekend, didn't they?
So
nil-nil.
QPR losing again.
Charlton has still got a couple of games now, so that puts Millwall down there with Yeovil and Barnsley.
Harry Redknapp looks a bit out of ideas.
3-0. Richard Dunn sent off and they went down 3-0. Sheffield Wednesday run a little roll as well because it's all 4 at the weekend.
Three on a bounce, everyone.
And then the other game was ridiculous. Have you seen this? Wigan versus Yeovil.
That's
1-0 to Wigan with 8, goals with eight minutes eight left minutes, and it finished
3-3.
The last 5 goals in 7 minutes.
Can I just point out here that Jim has done some prep? Yeah, for the book for the first time
and
in about 2 years as well.
Yeah.
That's insane.
The score was...
Oh, you found it?
Yeah, it was in your pocket.
It was 1-0 on 82 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 1-0. Yeah. Wigan went 1-0 up in the 56th minute. So it was 0-0 at half-time as well. Wigan go up 1-0 up in the 56th minute. Yeovil, who were second bottom at the time, and still are second bottom, actually, equalise in the 82nd and go ahead in the 85th. So suddenly, you're 2-1 up. Wigan equalise 86th and go ahead in the 88th. And in the 92nd,
own goal.
Yeovil get
own
back
goal.
In. Yeah.
Bitter.
No. I think the Wigan goal in the 88th was an own goal.
Oh, really?
The last minute equaliser by Yeovil. And then Wigan went up the other end. They had, on Sky Sports News, they had old Matt Murray doing the thing. Wigan could have won it.
Wigan missed a penalty in the first half as well.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they missed a penalty in the first half.
Oh, he's been scoring loads of penalties, that fella, as well, hasn't he?
Rodriguez or something.
Jordi Gomez.
That's it.
See, I've been proved wrong actually now, because if you'd been wearing a Sunderland shirt as a pair of trousers, you wouldn't have had pockets to put that in.
That's fair enough. Elsewhere last night, you've mentioned Crawley beating Wolves, so they're actually rocking
what
up the
table.
They're about 6-7 games behind everyone because their ground's absolute shite. Oh,
shit club.
Blame
well.
Steve Evans. Anyway. They're not a shit club. You keep saying that. They're not. It was Steve Evans. He's gone. Crawley all right. Gatwick FC.
Actually, they're doing better without him.
Much better without him.
All right, I'll take it back.
Also, Torquay, who were bottom of the league,
they won
2-1 last night. Against
still
Derby.
Bottom, though.
Still bottom, but Northampton lost, so they've gained a bit of ground. I think they're 4 or 5 points off third bottom.
And next week on the League Football Show with Jim and...
Cheltenham lost as well, didn't they? Or did they draw?
Yeah, informative information coming from the football club.
Anyway, Silver, there is football outside of...
Yeah, but you guys have to have a fucking discussion on League Football.
Outside of England as well, which I'll mention as well.
Yeah, so we go on 3-0 Friday night.
Hey!
Come on, you boys in green.
Proper football.
Unfortunately for Celtic, Rangers have now won League One in record time.
I'm sure Celtic could give a fly.
And they won the cup replay as well, which
they
is annoying.
They did, which is a shame because our friend Ollie, who's an Albion Rovers fan.
Who won the Scottish Cup on the weekend as well?
Aberdeen won it
in 1993 or something.
Was it 0-0 after full time or something? Wasn't it a really shit game?
Just quickly, to round off the Football League, because there is a little side into this.
Yeah.
And it's nice, like, if we're not here, you don't get much Football League. No. You mentioned Chelsea, I think you meant Chesterfield. They were second. They lost 2-1 to Plymouth. Plymouth are now in the playoff places. Plymouth have been down in the dumps for ages. They got 6,000 plus last night to beat Chesterfield 2-1.
Which is no wonder they beat
midweek game.
6,000. That's not bad at all. They're playing against the refs. So well, 6,000 is 12.
I don't know about Jules, but Brentford are struggling to get 6,000 on a Saturday. Jules pissed that. Tuesday night.
But the other thing is, we're talking about the Torquay versus Bury game. When the Bury supporters got in to the Torquay grounds, they walked in with their ticket. They got given a voucher from their own chairman, which entitled them to a free hot dog or hamburger and a hot drink.
That's very nice.
Because there was probably only about 100 of them.
No, and chili.
These incentives are important in the lower leagues. Yeah. They are
absolutely. That's a fair play. Well done to the Bury chairman. Because he must have known there was only about 80, 90 of their fans going
to
travel.
Well done. Well done to Lionel Messi, who now has become the all-time Barcelona top scorer. You two are having a fucking chat.
Do something that you could have read about on Twitter.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about non-league in a minute.
Yes! Talking about non-league, Hereford United.
To finish it off, surely we've got to talk about the. I've seen the video doing the rounds again. Leighton Orient, John Sitton.
No, it's amazing, isn't it?
Just absolutely ripped them apart.
I've got a link. Speaking.
You've got a link. Coxon has never seen the light of day.
Speaking of crazy. No, tenuously. I will highly, highly recommend you to watch on BBC iPlayer if you're in the UK or find it online, Coach Zoran and his African Tigers. It's all about...
Now this is what the podcast is all about, all right? This is what it's all about.
It's all about, because South Sudan is the newest nation on the planet, and it's all about the formation of their football team. They've got a Serbian coach.
The national team.
The national team. Right. It's a complete eye-opener about how different football is. It's a very ramshackle league. It's a very ramshackle affair. They get locked out of their stadium at one point.
Don't spoil it. This is like the Victoria line all over again. Dan, close your ears.
Coach Zoran is a Serbian. He is nuts. He is
nuts.
He makes John Sitton look like David Moyes. Or
shit.
Right, they're both.
Is he a bit like Alan Pardew then?
He makes Alan
Pardew. A bona fide thug.
No. He makes Alan Pardew look like Stuart Hall.
Really?
I mean, he is
fat.
Ugly.
To be fair, Coach Zoran is both of these things. But
what's it called? I'm looking out now.
We could definitely have said we had seven here today as well. We could have had Stu Hall here today as well.
It was still on there yesterday, if not, find it on YouTube.
Anyway, get to the point.
And it's an eye opener. They're playing in CECAFA, which is the oldest African tournament. It's for Central and East African nations. They have to go to a market store beforehand to buy boots. It's a complete different world.
That's amazing.
But it is.
Speaking
brilliant.
Of shit fucking FAs and FIFA and. Like a nightmare. Jack Warner and his supposed £1.2 million
bung. Jack Warner and his Qatari dirty
money.
You see this, Tom? So this came out yesterday, I think it was.
I said, do you see this, Tom? As if Tom's involved.
Yeah. You see this, Tom?
Only because everyone else went nodded, and Tom sat there looking like I hadn't got a fucking clue what I was talking about.
Where were you?
I asked.
Yeah, come on.
He just doesn't give a shit. So anyway,
it's not. So anyway, yeah. So there's been evidence that Jack Warner, who was at the forefront of Qatar getting the World Cup.
Jack Warner, I think of 24.
Little Jack Warner. No, yeah. Little Jack. That's Little Jack Warner, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like the Conquer.
He took a £1.2 million bung.
So he's like the Caribbean.
Just after. Just after they got given. The 2022. So it's been defended today, but they reckon this has opened up another can of worms. And who knows? Like if it's been proved that it's been a farce, they'll have to get rid of it.
Well, it's good. I'm fucking well behind that.
For the first time,
it's guilty until proven innocent.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. They bid for a Summer World Cup, and if they're going to move it. They have to move it because it's in the fucking desert.
The voice of the male speaks again.
Yes, exactly.
We were talking about this yesterday, me and Dan, and it traditionally World Cup's awarded 8 years before the next tournament.
Yeah.
So technically they could still give it to someone else and have the time, especially if it is one of the alternatives like USA or Australia who are also
USA would be awesome.
They already the problem for the USA is they've hosted it relatively recently, but Australia
never had it.
That'd be good.
Have the infrastructure. Yeah. Have the stadiums already.
And it's not in the desert.
But it won't happen.
Yeah. Sod that. We haven't had it since '66. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the stadiums.
They won't have it in Europe. Too.
You're in '96 in a row. Classic tournament as well.
And
Russia tennis.
Really good tournament.
Quite pleasant temperatures in Australia in that sort of time.
And they could have it in the summer as well, which is what you know what they would be.
No, but that'd be their winter.
Well, that's what I mean, but it would be the summer season in football.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what's depressing? The likelihood is we probably don't stand a chance of getting it until 2034 at the earliest.
Well, I'll be like 43.
Because you've got to have a space of two World Cups between a confederation repeating it. Do you reckon China are going to get it probably in 2030?
Again, I don't mind China.
But
you can't give it to
China. So we'll all be in our 40s, 50s.
Russia and Qatar, it rules out any possibility. Because by that point, I'd like to be able to afford to go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then this is my problem. Brazil would be good.
Be down the bingo.
Russia, Qatar. Fuck that.
Brazil's not going to be dangerous.
He keeps telling himself.
Yeah.
South Africa wasn't dangerous. I think I can live with Brazil.
There's much more crime.
I'd be very happy to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, who saw Drogba's free kick last night?
did you see it actually hit the banner, the Drogba banner?
Yeah.
Fucking really far.
No.
Well, actually, the coverage didn't show, but he hit the stand.
It was awful.
Rose Ed, basically.
Maybe he was aiming for it.
But he treated that game like it was a testimonial. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Galatasaray were shite, weren't they?
It
was a real shame. Yeah. And especially the fact, like, with 20 minutes to go, fair enough, they're 2 goals down. If they'd have got one, it's not like they were 4 down. If they'd have got one, then that would have put the shits right up Chelsea.
Sat back to 6-0.
What's that?
Sorry. I don't know.
It was just really weird. Like, you get one, you're going to make them nervous, and you get that second one, that's you through. Like, but they looked like they didn't even give a shit.
Tell you what though, Hazard, class act. Every single time.
This just in from Andy Franks, Hazard is a good player.
I don't know if I'd describe him as a class consistent. Actor, because that suggests that he is some sort of beacon of virtue, which, to be fair, he isn't, but he's a fucking brilliant player.
Every time I watch him play, he impresses me.
He's a fantastic player. I'm
not trying to say I said it first, Daniel Silva.
That's what Mourinho does. Andy French is watching today. I changed my boots. I'm going to put my boots on that I'm good in.
Yeah. Do you want to know who else is impressing? Roly-poly pastry merchant Antonio Cassano, the legend from Italy. He got a bit tubby. He's back on
form. Is that the one that had a ban for elbows?
Cole Lawson's just stopped listening.
Yeah, he's the one who, when he was at Real Madrid...
Which one?
Both of them, probably.
To come back, Cole.
The other one switched off when I knocked off the Irish kid. Don't worry about that.
Cassano, who famously at Real Madrid, he had a mate who worked in the hotel that he lived in, who he used to bring women home for sex. He had an arrangement that he would call down, the fella would bring him up some pastries after the sex, and the fella would take the woman away. But he's lost.
In exchange, the woman he's had sex with for pastries.
Well, he's just like take her by her hand.
I'm not sure how it quite worked, but that is what.
What
the
did he do with her after?
Well, I think he just put her in the car and took her away.
Where did you get this?
You could call that.
What's in it for him? He's bringing in pastries.
You could call that the Pillsbury Doughploy.
Oh. I don't even want to continue.
Carl, my number is 07.
But what's in it for the
don't
guy?
Do that.
What's in it for the guy bringing in pastries?
No, really, don't. Don't
speak Doughploy. That's brilliant.
I'm
not sure if Sloke actually then got use of the woman, or if he just maybe got some money out
of
it. I'm not sure. Okay.
Fair enough.
So Cassano is having a great season. He wants to go to the World Cup. He's lost 10 kilograms. He hasn't played for Italy for quite a few years. He scored twice against Milan at the weekend. Who subsequently, 300 of their ultras had a meeting with Seedorf, Balotelli and a few of the other players.
I mean, that is fucking ridiculous.
They took
that you're
them into the stadium.
Well, was it in a lecture hall or something? Where did they hold this meeting?
No, God knows.
Just fucking tell them they're going to kill them. Yeah.
Down in the dungeon, wasn't it?
Okay.
You will do this now.
But I'll leave the last word to Cassano, and this is one of my favourite quotes. I've lost 10 kilograms to go to Brazil. I'm on a diet and I've stopped eating fettuccine, which is like Italian bread.
Yep.
Except for once a week. So he hasn't stopped
and he eats fucking loads
of bread. Fair enough.
Wednesday's bread day, and I'm going to fill my fucking.
It's like your diet, Jim. It's what, the 5-2? He does that with fettuccine.
Yeah. I like it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
We've had shitloads of naughty boys again this week.
Yes.
Again.
Starting with Ramirez, surely. That fucker should be banned for a lot of games.
Yeah. I love Tom. He doesn't say much, but what he says is straight to the point, isn't it?
Oh, no, he normally does say quite a lot, but with you two, he hasn't got a fucking word in edgeways. the legend that is Eric Cantona.
Yeah,
getting nicked last week.
I am good. Yeah. I quite often drink around there.
In Primrose Hill?
Yeah.
How can you afford that?
Mate, I'm middle class. At the weekend I went for brunch.
Define middle class.
I went for brunch at the weekend.
Can you just say that in a thick Mancunian accent again?
I am middle class.
Middle class.
It's middle class, by the way. That's okay, you can't even say class properly.
Well, I'm a middle class northerner.
He was got... No such thing.
They don't exist.
Fucking snot.
He got nicked and charged with common assault. But I like this.
It happened before, though, didn't it?
He was... Well,
I don't remember.
I was footbridge. But I like the fact that the police said that the victim, a man, did not require medical assistance at the scene. So he barely touched
it. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Well, it means...
Assault's assault in the eyes of the law, Dan.
No, but assault can be spitting in someone. Assault can be spitting in someone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I doubt it.
Did he spit?
And speaking of that, George Boyd.
I think that's a load of bollocks. He was just shouting at him and a bit of spit will come off of his mouth.
I haven't seen it, but that's what I heard.
I'm telling you, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, because there's a difference when you actually fire a loogie at someone.
Yeah, big time.
And if anyone's out of order, it's Joe Hart for the way that he ran up to him in the first place.
With them two George rubbing Boyd their faces together.
It was actually laughable.
Yeah.
I just laughed. I can't believe it's being talked about. I can't believe we're wasting our breath talking about it.
Yeah.
Uli Hoeneß, I think that's how you spell it. The Bayern Munich president, pretty fucking big deal, has been sentenced to 3.5 years for tax evasion. Yeah. And he says he's going to accept his prison sentence. He's been, a naughty boy, and see you in 3.5 years.
George, how is Harry Redknapp's dog? Does anyone know?
Yeah, I think she's moved to Germany.
He's in kennels.
But he actually, because he was accused of tax evasion of something like €2 million, and he actually came out and said, actually, it was €15 million. He's going to be honest about
it. Wow, fair play.
I'm not sure if those in that film, he actually said, look,
it's
honestly,
more than it was.
To be fair, he's like, right, I've been caught, fuck it. I might as well own it and try and get the least out of this possible.
He played for them as well, but all the Bayern fans are right behind him. They're like, free Uli. It's like, well, if that was over here.
Well, who else wins the Bundesliga, the Champions League, and then gets pushed upstairs? That's what he did, wouldn't it?
See what happened?
Yeah.
No, none of us.
It was Jupp Heynckes who won the Champions League last season.
It doesn't happen over here. European fans.
On Bayern Munich, they've just gone 50 games unbeaten as well, haven't they? 50 games unbeaten in their league. I mean, the league doesn't look that good, really, does it? When Schalke are third and Leverkusen are second.
Yeah.
50 games unbeaten, though.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Not impressive, Marlon King has been...
Marlon King, a naughty boy, I won't hear it.
Done for dangerous driving.
Was it a stolen car this time?
No.
Or was it his own car? Oh,
no.
That's all right. That's
yeah.
Fine.
He's
that's
getting better.
That's basic.
He's getting better.
Yeah, that's bread and butter for Mark.
Just misunderstood. He's a nice kid. Misunderstood.
Fucking Jermaine Defoe.
Jermaine Defoe.
I'm really upset. I'm really fucking upset.
Scored
the both goals and a 2-1 win.
You could have done with him on Sunday.
That was my point, Chris.
Yes.
That was my point.
Sorry. Yeah.
In the same game, though, because he was playing.
In the same game, you had Chadley.
Yeah. who actually played fucking well, unfortunately.
What are you talking about?
He did play well.
Well, he had one chance.
No, he
meant
he played.
Jermaine Defoe's Toronto beat Seattle. Clint Dempsey's Seattle 2-1, and the same game as a brilliant. No, he's not.
He is.
No, he's not.
He's back there.
He's back on loan. No, he's, yeah, he's not. He was back on loan and then he's gone back.
Wanker.
He had a little
breaking news.
No, he's not. Wanker. Try and mug me off like that.
I don't remember him actually playing for Fulham.
No, he did play. He had a 6-week spell in the MLS.
No one really played for Fulham during that season.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But there's a really good little video clip. I don't know what the defender did to piss him off. But you know, old school, you know, boys being boys, the old casual ball flick that you'd give to one of your lad mates, you know, you'd fucking just, yeah, go on.
Looking out the window.
Yeah, Andy Franks was not paying attention at all, looking out the window, and Staples just gave him a ball flick.
I enjoyed that.
Anyway, but Clint Dempsey did it to one of the players, but he didn't just give him a ball flick. It was more like a ball punch. And the guy's gone down like a sack of shit. He's going to be in trouble for that.
I am paying attention now.
Did you see Micah Richards take the piss out of Chesney's selfie though?
Yeah, well, I didn't like that at all.
Well, right,
like
so hang on, we will tweet it. We will tweet it.
Yeah,
I'll tweet it. But it's quite funny. So Mika Richards has tweeted, did Szczesny just take a selfie on the pitch? I'll repeat again. And he's put a little sort of cartoon. It says, selfies, a handy guide for men. One, hold the phone lower than you normally do. Two, even lower than that. Three, lay down the phone. Four, stop taking selfies.
Yeah, I think Szczesny did that. I don't think he's not normally taking selfies on a pitch after every win, but I think
he actually pre-planned it.
Yeah, well, because you're thinking he's going to win.
Who the fuck takes selfies?
If
girls without makeup on,
boy, he likes to wind up Spurs fans.
Yeah, what's that about as well?
If I was Szczesny, I'd be watching out because there's been a study in America and there's been a rise in
hair lice
among teenage girls, and they reckon it's because they're all taking selfies.
Oh well. Yeah, does make sense, Mike.
Can I show you my prep now?
Yeah, go on. I thought that was your prep earlier.
No. Well, first of all, Hereford could be going into admin. They find out tomorrow. If they do, then they'll go 5 points below the relegation drop, probably going to the Conference South. Sad state of affairs. I'll mention that next time I'm on in a couple of months. Right, has anyone heard of foot golf?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
We're going to play it.
Yes.
Nine or 18 holes around a normal golf course, but you play football. They extend the holes, so you just play
yeah,
football.
Yeah, you play with football. Awesome. So you just kick it into the hole.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Football. Yeah,
this it's is a this, real this fucking thing. Yep.
Dreams are made of, Daniel.
It was in 1972. Well,
yeah,
never
they fucking So you can follow them on Twitter, at UK Foot Golf. They've got a website, ukfootgolf.com, which I've been on. The nearest one, or the easiest one for us
Sorry,
to get
is that
to.
An actual place?
£10 per person. £10 per person.
For 18 holes. For 18 holes.
I will destroy you.
When are we doing it? Laid down the gauntlet.
Because I can see Dunn getting psyched out very easily.
The nearest one is in you.
Well, like the penalty in the Wharf Cup.
Where's that?
The penalty in the Wharf Cup.
We've heard about
it. The nearest one is in Longfield and Kent. That's on the way to Medway. That'll take us about half an hour from Victoria.
Yeah.
And it's £10, so it costs fuck all. It'll cost us about £8
amazing.
To get there.
That is amazing.
It must be Astros.
No, boots allowed. Open every Sunday from 2 p.m. And they're also going to start opening on Thursdays from mid-April because obviously the weather's better.
Oh man,
this is the general rules.
Amazing.
All players old and new welcome. Size 5 footballs provided. No football boots on the course. No denim on the course. Polo or collared shirts required.
There's golf rules.
Plain tailored shorts required. So you can wear whatever shoes you want as long as you're not wearing football
plain
boots.
Tailored shorts required.
No, so you've actually got to wear proper golf clobber. Like, you've got to wear a collared shirt and tailored shorts.
Plus fours, brilliant.
It's going to be absolutely amazing.
I mean, that is amazing.
When are we doing it?
I will
email them. You've got to email them to make a booking, see when they've got availability.
Oh, fucking, let's do it. 100%.
I'm down with that.
That sounds amazing.
We'll have a few beers on the way down. We'll have a few beers on the way down, and then obviously a few drinks after.
We'll have a few beers afterwards.
Yeah. Locker in the can.
You know we'd be really good at that, not the drinking, but the foot golf, and that is Weaverham under 15's goalkeeper Lewis Stanley. Wow. Now, this is what I was talking about non-league earlier. Witton Albion, one of my local clubs back home, they were trying to break a world record. One of my local clubs.
It's just going to be amazing, isn't it? It's like golf, but football.
Yeah, but you use your leg instead of a club.
The holes are massive, so you hit.
You're probably going to have to judge it quite a lot as well, because you can try and chip it directly in.
Would you play a flat ball or would you chip it? It depends on the wind, surely. You've got to take into consideration the wind factor. This is going to be amazing.
A bit of backspin, you could do a little bit of chip.
Imagine just getting it perfectly in and not touching the sides, nothing.
Your tee shot's going to be key as well. Obviously, you've got to get the power in for that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine chipping a hole in, like, not a hole in one? I don't know how far the course is.
What, par 3?
Yeah.
Like pinging in a par 3. Because it's 150 yards, isn't it?
Proper golf course.
18 holes, mate.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they've got to have flags in them as well.
I reckon I can kick a ball.
I don't think you've got a chance of kicking it.
Talking about landing it.
Yeah, so like just from
oh, what, landing
from
straight in.
Take off.
Oh, okay, straight in. Maybe
and
not.
If there's any rain,
maybe not.
If there's any rain, you've got to take that into account.
Just imagine
being like 20 yards away, just dinking it, and it just bouncing and just going in.
Amazing.
Oh, that's gone in.
To the hole.
Get in the hole. Right, sorry, go on, Mike.
Yeah, go on, Cockton.
We're in,
I'm going to
win. We really should have saved this to the very, very last thing stage.
Dan
Silver. I can't stop thinking about it.
How long is a football pitch in yards? Is it less than 150 yards?
How long is a piece of string, Ann?
Well, Big three can be as long as you like, but
it's about 100 yards.
You've got certain dimensions of regulations, which
there's no
way you have to adhere to.
It's got to be within. But it's got to be within. But
you football manager, I know that. Do you want to change your pitch dimensions? No, I don't give a fuck.
Just make.
Although once I was like, no, I'm going to play long ball, so I'm going to make the pitch shorter, contain it all. I like that.
Did it work?
Nah, it was shit.
What is this story?
Right, so Witton Albion, one of the clubs local to me back home, they were trying to break a world record set by Iker Casillas, which he did in China in 2011, which was within 60 seconds how many goals you can score from the halfway line into an empty net. So he scored 11. And we've run under 15's keeper, Lewis Stanley, came closest. He managed 9, which I think is not bad compared to...
So your big news is
World Cup winning.
It's not big news.
No. The big news is that they tried to do a record and didn't.
And they didn't, but they raised a lot of money for charity, which charity, I don't even know.
Well, the big news is that football exists.
Talking of strange coaching routines for goalkeepers, talking about Casillas. Anyone see Peter Cech's warm-up for the game last?
Yes.
With a golf ball, yeah.
Tennis ball.
What was he doing? I have. For golf!
So one of them was a foot golf ball.
Just the football.
Speaking of goalkeepers, we had absolute howler of the week, Vitesse goalkeeper, Piet Viltuzin.
Perfectly pronounced.
Thank you. It was an absolute classic goalkeeping howler. Back pass gets played to him. Striker charges him down. He goes to kick it with his left foot, but his planted right foot kicks it away from him and completely misses the ball, and the geezer tapped into an empty net. Absolute howler.
With goalkeeping legend of the week, I don't know if you saw this in the Western Sydney Wanderers derby game, Dan, did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Sydney FC.
I don't watch every single A-League game.
Well, yeah, but you've got precious in the past when I've started talking about A-League, so I thought...
No, Melbourne. When you've jumped in on Melbourne Heart, I've got a bit of precious.
By the way, Melbourne Heart did this, so Sydney FC goalkeeper Vedran Jantovic, they were 1-0 down, and one of the defenders gave away a penalty. He told, and I've got the name of the striker here, Mark Bridge, who's taking a penalty, where to put it. You know the classic schoolboy, I'm going to dive there. Mark Bridge put it there, he dived there and saved it. Utter lad.
Wow. See, I couldn't play at the weekend because I've got a knee injury. But my team won.
And you were in Bath.
My team. No. That was
Saturday.
That was Saturday. Nice. That was Saturday morning. But we won on penalties in the semi-final to get through to the final. But our Spanish import, who actually played semi-pro in Spain, I'm going to find out who he's playing for. Yeah, it's magnificent. Signing. He took the penalty without the referee blowing the whistle. Put it in bottom right hand corner, had to get taken again, and he's fucking brilliant. He literally went to the goalkeeper, in his broken English, I put it in the same place, and he fucking did, and he scored. It was absolutely magnificent.
Wow.
So, that was a bit of personal news.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, taking the piss.
Spoke about Australia. No, interesting. Seems we were talking about Australia.
Right, actually, before we do that, have you seen that two English footballers have been banned for life by FIFA after helping fix games in Australia?
Oh, are these the lads from Hornchurch?
Reece Nowell and Joel Woolley,
yeah.
Both 24, pleaded guilty to conduct that corrupts a betting outcome in December. They both played for Southern Stars in the Victorian Premier League.
Yeah, and
so naughty boys.
They used to play for Hornchurch, who have also been investigated for match fixing, so something dodgy going on. Allegedly. One thing I will say as well, apparently Keira Knightley got Sky Sports recently because she loves Gary Neville
so
much.
She fucking bums Gary Neville, didn't she?
Why?
I remember the days when
Tom? She literally went off on one about how amazing, and she's a West Ham fan.
Yeah, she knows fuck all about West Ham.
No idea.
I mean, he's a good period,
He's good, he doesn't deserve to be knocked off, does he?
There's nothing more to say than
What's the fella that she was in Pirates of the Caribbean with?
Johnny Depp.
Not him, the
Orlando
other one.
Bloom.
He's a Jules fan.
He's from Canterbury.
Mum lives in Canterbury.
So is Joe Wilkinson from 8 or 10 Castles Cup.
Seen him many times in a rain.
I spent an afternoon
in Will.i.am as well, apparently.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's You're fucking joking.
No.
Will.i.am. Gillingham fan.
According to the lead singer of Kaiser Chiefs, Will.i.am is a Gillingham fan.
Oh, right.
Honestly.
Is that not because of the rhyming?
Probably.
Yeah.
What? Gillingham.
Will.i.am is a Gillingham fan.
That's funny.
He said it on Soccer AM, which is still going as well somehow.
Yeah.
Love it.
Who
Melbourne Heart.
This shit anymore?
Melbourne Heart.
9-year-old still on boys. Telly.
How the fuck's that possible?
9-year-olds.
How are we still doing this fucking podcast?
Yeah. Yes.
So about Melbourne Heart. Right.
Melbourne Heart, yes, we've got to go. Melbourne Heart, unfortunately, still haven't been still only one loss in the last six, I believe it is, but they drew 2-2 with a 10-man Wellington Phoenix at home. had a very good chance, because I think the geezer got sent off after about 30 minutes, had a very good chance to kick on, but unfortunately could only get a 2-all draw.
It's the home form, which is sort of cool.
No, that was fine. Everything was fine. Everything was brilliant.
That's what I've been saying to myself for the last week since that bloody result.
Last 2 weeks, a loss and a draw, but
fine. Everything will be fine. It's 1999.
There's still hope.
There's still hope. No, four still. I think there's still hope.
I think there's something like 4 points off now. So fingers crossed. But anyway, brings us to the end for the week. It's been quite a fun show. I think we should have more of us here more often.
Not this many.
Well, you know. I'll tell you what, when we've got this many, we'll do four of us, and then Jim and Andy can do a half hour on the Football League. Which I'm not criticising. Yeah. It's good to have someone with some knowledge.
The only people that actually go to games can have a chat as well, yeah?
Oh, wait.
Dan was there last week.
Yeah, I think I was there last week.
He goes to the European games.
I went to a game in August once. I won't say which year, but...
Cherry Shield.
Anyway.
What was that half about? That was really weird.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
He's a season ticket holder, isn't he?
No, he's not.
I'm not going to go into
it. He's a
season... All right, he's got
a
play.
He's got a train
goal.
Season ticket.
Yeah. Yes, we're not.
Yeah. Football.
And in the style of ZZ Top, he's a sharp dressed man with that beard. Yes. Well, email us banner@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're on Twitter @footballpodcast. And of course, visit us on the new site, footballpodcastonline.wordpress.com.
Tweet us if you want to play golf with us.
Yeah.
Russell Slade, don't be so bitter.
Bye.